Okay, again, good to see everyone tonight. We will probably be saying something Sunday about being the first Sunday of the new year and that sort of thing. Anybody here make any New Year's resolutions? Well, it's kind of useless, isn't it? Somebody said, I make them just so I can say I broke them. Well, I don't know. It's okay if it helps you, but I haven't heard too much good on it, to tell you the truth. Why don't you open your Bible to the book of Proverbs. Going to a very familiar portion. Sometime, of course, we use this on baby day or something else. Hope you can quote it. Surely you can. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And I might flip back over to Proverbs 3, right in the beginning there. You ever notice how in the early chapters of Proverbs it says, my son, my son? kind of personal from the Lord, especially the young folks. In fact, I'll just go to chapter 3 first. Chapter 3, and we'll look at about the first three or four verses of it. Proverbs 3, and then we'll go back. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now we know the psalmist said 70 was basically a generation of man, 70 years. A lot of us have already gone by God's grace past that. By the way, just nothing to do with what I'm going to teach tonight, but do you realize this year starts off the 70th year since Israel was back in the land? And you remember what Jesus said about a generation not passing away until they saw all of it fulfilled. So just throwing that out, that's interesting. 70 years, generation, Israel's been back in the land. All right, anyway, that's not what I'm on tonight. Proverbs 3, verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, that should be the goal we'd all like to have. Healthy, long life, in peace, God's blessing. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, he's given us a secret there. Mercy and truth, living for God, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of what's the last two, inside of God and man. You know, it's a blessing of God when you can have favor with man also. He talks about when we're right with him, he can even make our enemies at peace with us. Amen. Then I want us to go back to where I started, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Here's the one I'm sure you can quote. And kids, you ought to quote it because you've heard it quoted at you enough. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Old sage said this one time, said, yes, that verse is true. It's true. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the meantime, he'll give you a lot of trouble until he gets old. And there's a lot of truth to that, I fear. Well, we are thinking about 2018, New Year. And you know, our desire ought to be to have a straight path for God all the way through the year if he gives it, much of the years he gives. We ought to be wanting to live it for God. You know, the Bible talks a lot about paths and ways, directions. For instance, it says in Proverbs 14:12 over here, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seems right. But the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the deceptive route. Looks good. In the old days, they used to, you young folks might not remember this so much, but in the old days, they'd have whiskey, alcohol advertisements on the billboards. And they'd have smoking advertised on the billboards. Anybody remember signs like Virginia Slims? A lot of ladies got conned into that, thinking they'd smoke those cancer sticks and get slim. Amen. Or You Come a Long Way, Baby. Anybody remember that one? Yeah, You Come a Long Way, all the way from health to the cancer ward, you know. But the world's deceptive like that. Somebody read a billboard one time and where they'd been advertising beer and showing all the pretty people drinking it. And on down the road, somebody read the billboard and said, now look what. And it had up some old drunken hags in poor health. Good truth there. Good truth. How it winds up. See, it's the end of a thing that matters. That's the important thing, the end of it. And the Bible talks about journeying. It talks about path. Most novels that's ever been any good took you from one place to another. Probably the greatest book next to the Bible was Pilgrim's Progress. And what was it? It was a trip. All the way to the celestial city, a trip. How it ended up. A tremendous book, I believe, inspired of God. If you hear our radio station, I like it once in a while I like Tennessee Arnie Ford. I like his singing anyway. And Tennessee Arnie Ford says, life is like a mountain railway, isn't that what he says? With an engineer that's brave, keep your hand on the throttle and your eye on the rail. Anybody hear that one? Well, there's a good comparison there. Talks about looking out for the curves, looking out for the tunnels. Well, life has that. Has mountaintops, has valleys. Has curves, has dark times, all of that. And as we think of the new year, we're going to journey through it one way or the other. We're going to go. I'd like to be going right. I certainly would. But, you know, a lot of times they advertise the new year with a new baby in the cartoons. You see that? New baby's got the banner on him. In this case, 2018, pretty bouncing baby. And it's an old, crepid man handing him handing the baton to run the race. This is what it done to me, is what he's saying. And now you're starting out brand new. We've got some new babies in our midst, in our church family, and that's wonderful. That's good. Idealistic parents, that's the way all parents ought to be. Great plans. I have seen daddies buy them a football suit before they could even, even say dad. But all of that, that's the best. That's God's plan. We love that. But in the early stages of a baby, we give the best watch care. We should, best care. And then later, as the baby gets a little older, we keep on trying to train. Now, I read here in the verse where it says, train up a child. We understand what train means, don't we? We mean, you can put that in not only training kids. I mean, a man goes to the military for training, or you go to a special school for training. We understand. Now, in that training, there's going to be a lot of repetition until it finally cuts a groove in your dumb brain up here that the needle gets stuck in, and you do a lot of things automatically because you've been trained to do them. You repeat them and repeat them until it becomes second nature. You can just automatically do it, and all of that is good. Good. Now, the Bible gives a lot of instruction, and really that's training for us. When we start out training our kids, they... Well, how about riding a bicycle? Don't they put training wheels on them? I remember when my son was learning to ride a bicycle, he'd get so mad he wanted them training wheels off. Didn't matter, he was fixing to bust it. Take them off anyway. He had to bust it a few times before he handled it. Most kids are that way. But what we're trying to do is we try to train up our kids, and that's what the scripture here tells us to do. And what we're really trying to train them to do, as parents, we're trying to get them to choose the right and reject the wrong so they can follow the path I read about the Lord would have us to follow and to have the long and healthy life and have the peaceful life and live it right for the Lord. That's what we want to happen. And good and bad choices are out there to be made all the time. As parents, we carefully choose early things. I wish parents chose colleges with the same care they chose kindergarten with. Isn't that amazing? They'll go investigate the kindergarten. They'll investigate the Christian school, but by the time they're ready for college, just kick them out of the house and let them go anywhere. something's happened. The wheels have come off the wrong way. That's too bad, but there's a lot of truth to that. Good and bad choices are going to be made as we go through life, no doubt about it. The world is going to attract your kids to the wrong stuff. And they're outselling us, folks. I read the stats all the time. Good churches are getting further and further apart. And the church has surrendered, and even to the place they've decided to use all the world's methods and means to try to bring in the crowd. Well, I'll tell you, you can entertain, but you can't out-entertain the world. And to try that, I've said it before, is to cheapen the church down and make what the church has, the truth of God and the Word of God, and it cheapens it to where the world don't even respect us anymore like they used to. And that's sad. That's too bad. It's that way. But a lot of kids grow up now forsaking the early stuff they learned. And the training wheels have come off, and a lot of them are crashing. And I'm telling you what, the stats are really sad. They're really sad right now. And it generally starts as teens. You know, parents, hear me. I've said this so many times. Your teens need you worse than the baby in the cradle does. They got more challenges. They got more danger. They need you then to be closer to them. Say, well, no, I'm close to my baby. Sure you ought to be. That's still your baby at 15 or 16. And when the real danger begins to rear its head to take over. And sadly, a lot of parents by that time are whipped. And they just give up. And folks, we see the Lord's church hurting today because a lot of Christian parents have let their kids go to the devil. Now, I claim the promise, and I believe the promise here. Train up a child in the way he should go. I don't believe they'll ever forget it. But I also believe in saving them all the scars we can save them. And maybe even saving their physical life and physical health and everything else to not let go too quick. And to hold on as much as we can in the right way, of course. But the world is outselling us. They're pulling after our kids. And they're trying to pull them aside. I want to try to illustrate, and I have no idea exactly how I'm going to do this, so you pray for me. Sometimes they say a picture's worth a thousand words. And I'm going to see if I can get you to think with me in a way right now. I'm going to need some folks to help me, and I'm just going to call you and ask you to do. Don't do more than I ask you to do. I ask you to help me a little bit. I want you to first get in your mind. We can go from the cradle to the adulthood of a child. Just think that way. Let's think of it being a path through life. One year at a time, one day at a time. God lets them live. Now, I said the Bible talks a lot about the way and the path. And Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. He said, narrow is the way that leads to life. We understand the analogy there. And like I say, books of fiction and all are written along that way. Now, as a baby starts out, grows to a toddler, to a first grader, on through elementary school, then junior high, and then high school, and then college, he's following that path or he's getting off that path. Now, the Bible says it's good to stay on the path, to walk in the blessings of the Lord. The devil wants to get you off the path. And teens, I'm especially now talking to you tonight. Young people, I'm talking to you in a special way. I want you to think about it. I want you to have an imaginary line from about that flag there over maybe to this flag. Let's see a path coming across here. And since I'm standing this way, I'm going to get you to think about the path like this. This is the right side. We'll say God's side. This is the world's side over here. Can you see that in your mind? Mark, you be a helper here to me. Come on over here with me. And I didn't say nothing to Mark ahead of time, and I'm sure he'll cooperate with me because he likes good grades in college. I want you to stand right about what would be the middle here, and you're looking that way. Now, he's not a toddler, but I'm going to let him start off as a first grader right here tonight. And he's going to begin the journey that way. And the trouble is, as he walks, there's a crowd that wants to pull him their way. So I'm going to need some help right here. Let me see. Josh, you two young men here on the corner, y'all come up here with me. Now, I'm going to make you the bad guys. I'm going to let you stand here and here and here. Three of you just line up facing this way. Now, I'm going to give them some titles here. He wants to pull this kid off early as he can and start him smoking, slipping around smoking. This one here, by the time he gets up to here, this one wants to pull him off and introduce him to the dope crowd. By the time he gets right here to this one, Josh, you're going to be the pornographer tonight. Stand on up here. Now, I need some parents. I'm looking for some real parents here tonight. Jody, you and Bob, come on up here. Y'all be my parents right now. I need them. Now, we're going to let them be Mark's parents. They're on the good side. They're on the right side over here. Now, when he starts moving through here, he wants to stay on the straight line. And his parents here, they want him to stay on the straight line. But these guys don't. They want to pull him off, right? Okay. I need some more help. Levi, you come on up. Shot, you come on up. Stand right here. You're a bad guy tonight, whether you know it or not. You're a bad guy. Okay, right here. Spread apart here a little bit, all right? All right, if we can get him going smoking, then we get him going on maybe marijuana, just a little light bit. Then we're going to get him introduced into the sex trade, pornography, and all the filth that Josh is into. Then Levi sees he got him going, so he's going to suggest to him a little bit of crime, fast money, right? You're into that, right? Rashad, we're going to make you really the bad guy. You're going to tell this guy by the time he gets here he's crazy to work, try to pay his bills, that there's an easier way. So you're going to be a safecracker. You're going to get him into big stuff, all right? But the parents are over here. They don't want none of this crew to have a hold of them. No way. But they can't do it by themselves. They're going to need some help. Well, Perkins, come on up, and I'm going to let you be the preacher tonight. You stand up over here side of the Ozzy Waters to help them out every way that you can. Brother Birch, you come on up and let you be the teacher, a good teacher. That's going to try to help. Okay? All right, good. Now, this kid's going to start out walking straight. Mark, you start walking straight. Just right in the middle, right where you're supposed to be. You're heading toward God's goal. You're going to church. Don't move too fast. You're going to church. You're reading your Bible. And you're just in grammar school, but by the time you get to grammar school, you've started watching a lot of TV, and your buddies have started slipping around talking to you. So this guy's fixing to try to get you to smoke. Pull on him there a little bit. Pull him over. But Dad don't want that to happen. Pull him back. Pull him back. Pull him back. All right? All right? You lost that one. Now and Mama's in there too. All right, here's the worst guy. Grab him and pull on him. Now, see? All right, here's the real bad one. Now, the preacher better get involved to help right here. Grab him, Josh. Try to pull him to your side. Don't run his suit. Keep on moving. Let's grab him. You got to get him now. That's the crime guy right there. That's the crime guy. That crime guy. And what? You're going to get him to help you rob the bank? Is that it? But the school teacher's pulling one way and the preacher's pulling one way. All right. Hold it right here, Mark. I want y'all to see something with all the fun in it. Think about the life of a kid. Isn't that exactly it? Jerk from this side to that side. Good guy pulling one way, bad guy pulling the other way. Now, a whole lot of it is going to depend on which group he sides with. What's going to keep him going straight? God's word, loving God, knowing God. He's still, this group's going to pull at him. It don't matter he's a Christian. No matter he goes to church, they're going to jerk him every way they can. And the parents need some help. They can't do it all, but neither can the preacher or teacher. They can't do it all. I mean, they're trying to help each other. They sure are. Let me just say it this way. Think about a young person's life in the verse we read. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Now, that's still no guarantee. The scripture says when he gets old, he'll not depart from it. It's a long way from the time he starts off in grammar school till he gets old. Amen. Now, the insinuation of the verse is he's going to get smarter as he gets older. That don't always happen, but it should. It should. If you've been saved any length of time, you ought to be a lot smarter than when you first got saved. And if you're saved, you got somebody else helping over here besides parents and preacher and teacher. You got God's Holy Spirit speaking inside to help you. And so when one goes bad, we just can't totally blame the world and say they're just too strong for us. The truth is, if Mark goes wrong, he's got to deny God and turn from him. Here's the problem, folks. In our best churches, a lot of young people can talk the talk. They can sing the songs. They'll be there every day until they get out under mom and dad's thumb. But they never seem to really have God's real power on the inside to resist this bad crew that's going to be pulling on them. That's sad. I see that too much. Now, what I'm saying is, we got a responsibility to train. The parents have. That's their first. They're the first responsibility. They're the owner. Then all the help they can get. They're smart if they send the kid to Christian school. They're smart if they go to a good church. They're smart if they have all the best helpers in the world helping them. They're going to need every one of them. And especially in this day and time today. Now, I'm going to bring Mark on this way a little bit, Mark. And here's what I want to see. Mark's coming through. He was pulled this way, and he was pulled this way, and he was pulled this way. And you know when the biggest pull comes, it's from about 15 to 19, 20 years old. There's about a five-year period. They're snatched all the time, this way and that. And hopefully, they'll zigzag this way and zigzag that way, but hopefully, finally, they get smart enough in the Lord to walk straight. No guarantee of that. The verse says when they're old, they'll not depart from it. It don't say how old. Wonderful is the young person that's got his head on straight while he's still a teenager. Or at least by the time he's 20. I've seen some at 50 didn't have their head on very straight. So old is a relative term. It's not an exact year there that we can talk about. Our challenge as pastor and youth leader and teachers and all this is we're trying to outpull the world. And parents, let me say, if you're having a pull and you're having a fight, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let them, don't surrender. I had a man in this church, he's gone to heaven now. He was a very faithful man, a soul winner. And he was trying to raise a couple of teenagers. I'll never forget what he said to me. His boy was giving him a pile of trouble. He said to me, he said, "Brother Carter, the devil has decided he's going to get my boy. But," he said, "I've decided he's not." And I know some of the personal fights that he really had to have. And I felt for him. But I did appreciate his attitude. He was not going to let the devil win. And parents, you better think on that a little bit. And teenagers, you better understand you're a pawn in the game. And the world will not ignore you. They will tempt you every way they can. Yeah. And they will pull you every way they can. And I ask you now as teenagers, though, looking at the little illustration here tonight, which side is best for the man? Which side is best for the kid? Does this side have his best intentions? Or does this side? How come, and I counsel with kids too many times, how come you ever let the devil sell you on the idea that these folks are keeping something good from you? It's this crowd that's got your harm in mind. Wow, I've said to kids sitting across my desk, they complain about parents, and parents are humans and they're not perfect and they make mistakes. But even when they do, that's no reason to sell out to this crowd. Right. Now, I've said to some kids, I'd say, mom and dad just really don't want you to have a good time, right? They just don't have your best interests at heart, right? And after a few statements like that, they begin to look like, I know. But the pull is still there. And yet the Bible promises, says you grew up in Sunday school learning this, that we're to obey our parents. And to honor father and mother is the first commandment with promise, Paul said. Promise of what? Long life. Long life. Living right pays off in the long run. And to sell out and get all scarred up and bruised up and in all kind of ways, as young men that get incurable diseases, even when they're teenagers, they never get over the rest of their life. Because they couldn't wait on God's plan to go find the right one and get married to a clean Christian girl, they went to the wrong places. And yes, they got introduced to the sexual life, but they also got introduced to the sexual diseases. And kept it the rest of their life, many cases. Got hooked on dope and it's run their life, run their health. Again, which side really loves the kid? I think that it's so obvious to us, but it's not obvious to the world out there. When the flesh gets in the driver's seat and young people just... all of a sudden, I got to throw off the chains. I got to have a good time. And the biggest problem is not being able to wait and trust God that he's got your best at heart. Oh, young people, I guess what's on my heart is I've been reading a few stats lately, and it's sad to see what's happening in good churches of good families losing their kids. Will the kids come back? Maybe so. When they're old, if they were really saved, maybe they will. But why come back bruised up, beat up, and a bunch of your life already messed up? Right. And there's no guarantee that God won't take you home with him. And instead of giving you long life like the verse was talking about, he shortens it. He takes you home early. You've all heard the illustration of... a little boy in Saturday afternoon, they're about to go to town. Actually, I pretty much had this happen to me when I was about 5 years old, I think. Mother got myself and my brother cleaned up, ready to go. By the way, parents used to do that. They used to make the kids comb their hair before they went grocery shopping on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. And we might get an ice cream or something else, but we had a bath, we had a hair comb, Daddy taught us to polish our shoes. I know it's old-fashioned stuff, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was. And well, that afternoon, Mother got us all cleaned up, ready to go, but it rained. And we was living in Alabama, where 10 drops of rain will make a ditch of mud, red mud. And so Daddy's on the front porch, and she's finishing up with Harvey, and I'm out there, my shoes are shined, my hair is combed, but the ground is wet. So he says to me, stay on the sidewalk, mud out there. Well, I walked out there and looked at it, but it looked so pretty. And it was actually a ditch. It used to be a lot of ditches around. And there was a ditch, and it looked like it was perfectly level with perfectly red sand, clay. And I just had to test it. And I just put one foot over in it, and I went into it. And I want to tell you something. Daddy come snatch me out of the ditch. Mama didn't have to dry me off. He dried me off. When he got through, it was dry where he hit. But then Mother had to call me back in and do the whole job again. And you know, when a child of God steps in the mud, God will pick him up. And he may dry him off, and he may paddle him and chase him a little bit. But keep on doing it. And God may call you home early. I mean, the mother says to the kid, don't get dirty again, but they do out in the yard. Come in and clean up again. But after a while, Mom won't let the kid go out again. And I fear a lot of God's people had disobeyed so many times. The Bible teaches that. God chastens every son he receives, the scripture says. And there is a time that you can cross the line with God. He says, you're giving me such a bad testimony down there. Just come on up here. Can't use you down there anymore. I think as a youth leader, many years ago, before I started preaching, I saw that happen to a couple of my kids. One I'm thinking of right now, I wouldn't tell you the whole story on, but God used me on a Saturday afternoon to go to a good, talented young man that had so much promise. But he started missing because he got an old car, and he had talent. He could play instruments, and he went to the place where he could play an instrument for the bad crowd to dance, make a few bucks on Saturday night, get in so late, wouldn't be in Sunday school on Sunday morning. And I heard about it, so I went to him, and I talked to him about it. And oh, he hung his head, and he said, you're right, Brother Mickey, I've done wrong, I shouldn't do it. Not going to do it anymore, but he did, and he did, and he did. Then the next call I got, he was coming in about 1 a.m. from playing for that band, hit a telephone pole, lay in intensive care a few days, and went to be with the Lord. I believe with all my heart I see him in heaven. I believe he was a child of God. I believe God said, no more in the mud. You're coming up here with me. Coming back in the house, and that can happen. Young folks, it does happen sometimes. It really does. I appreciate it, folks. Y'all go ahead and have your seat. My time's up. But did you just get the thought? A kid can't go through the life. He can't follow God's path without the world trying to pull on him, the devil trying to pull on him. And there's a crowd out there. And let me also say this. Have you ever seen an old drunk that said, hey, buddy, have a drink? What does he mean? He means it tastes so good to me, I want you to have some. You know, when the folks fall into sin, the doper, the smoker, the drinker, the porn crowd, the whole bit, they want to pull somebody else in with them. It's amazing the desire they have to. And if they see a kid doing right, he almost becomes a target. And let's be wise as God's people. Here we are starting off the year. We got a path to follow through it. We know what God's path is. We know how to stay on it, obey his law, obey his word, walk by what he tells us, and say no to the crowd that's pulling on us. Talk's cheap. I can stand here and warn all night long. And out of this room full of people, it's not full tonight, small number tonight, comparatively speaking. I hate to say it, but there's some that the world will pull off. There's some that will blow it. Now, it's wonderful if they come back, but they'll never come back without scars. Never come back without the pain that they could have dodged. Young people, it's not being a sissy to dodge bad things. You don't have to prove your manhood by smelling like the stinkingest bum you know. You don't have to prove your manhood by drinking the strongest thing or shooting up with somebody. You prove your manhood by doing what's right, because it takes more strength and character to do right than wrong. I've heard preachers of old say any old dead fish can float down the stream, but it takes a live one to swim against the current. If you walk for God, you're going to swim against the current in this whole world. You really are. But in the long run, it's best to get old without the scars and have the blessings of God and the promise of long life and all of that. And what the world is trying to drag you off into is not for your good. It's something that's going to hurt you. And through the Lord Jesus Christ being our Savior and living within us, we have the strength not to give in to it. All right, as we think about journeying through the new year, I'll probably have some more to say about it maybe Sunday or something, because it's kind of a theme with everybody as the new year starts. I know my heart. I want to walk for God. Amen. I hope you do too. Let's stand, please.